behold, I do a new thing. Amen. New things, new beginnings, trying out new things, going to new places, meeting new people, experimenting and trying out new ventures, opening new businesses, starting new churches. That is the nature of our God. Hallelujah. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. This is the kind of God that we serve. I mean, the kind of God who is there, you know, let's start reading from verse 18. It says, remember ye not the former things. That means forget about the former thing. Hallelujah. And forget about the old things. Neither consider the things of old. Then he says, fresh start. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and the river and rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. So our God is that kind of a God. Our God is the kind of God who will be sitting there. Then suddenly he says, scrap the old. Hallelujah. He says, let's try out something new. Let's do something new. And he says, it will spring forth. You won't even know how it happens, but it will just spring forth. Then he says, I will even make a way in the desert. A desert, God says, I'm going to make a freeway in the desert. Can you imagine? Freeway in the desert, D405. D405. He's making a freeway in a desert. And he's going to make a wilderness. He's going to make rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. He said, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and the rivers and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Hallelujah. He says, but thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been wary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. Hallelujah. So God is not afraid of starting new things. And I realize that in life, if you do not open yourself up to new things, you miss out on a lot. Hallelujah. If you get stuck with what you are used to and just stuck with who you know and get stuck with the way you've always done it and get stuck with where you've always done it, you limit yourself and you restrict yourself and you shut out a lot of blessings and a lot of possibilities that God otherwise would have for you. Hallelujah. And so it is uncharacteristic of God. Our God is not that kind of a God. God likes adventure. I said God likes adventure. Think of somebody who has started to make a freeway in the wilderness. That is a real adventurous and ambitious project. To create one of these fine freeways in a desert, in a place where there's just sand. You ask yourself, who is going to come and drive this their car in this desert? Do you understand? He said, I'm going to create rivers in the desert. Rivers in a desert. Why in the desert? Why do you want to put rivers in the desert? Who is going to come here and swim in those rivers? But God is not, he doesn't start by asking who is going to come. He starts by saying, this is what I want to do. Hallelujah. I believe God wants to do something in this part of town. I believe God has a place for us here also. Hallelujah. God has some souls He wants to save here also. God has people in this part of town that He wants to belong to this fold. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "Other sheep I have, and them also must I bring." Hallelujah. He said, "Other sheep I have, and them also I must bring." So it's not just the people we know, it's not just the people we are used to, but there are others also. Amen. There are others whose lives will be transformed in the same way your life has been transformed. There are others whose lives will be affected in the same way your life has been affected. Others whose families will be touched in the same way your family has been touched by God. Hallelujah. And we need to give them that opportunity. God wants to use us to give them that opportunity. Hallelujah. How will it happen? I don't know. Hallelujah. I don't know. The scripture says, "Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it?" Amen. It says it will spring forth. Hallelujah. Our job is to do the planting. Our job is to do the watering. Then God's job is to give the increase. God's job is to cause it to spring forth. Hallelujah. He said, "It shall spring forth. It shall spring forth. It shall spring forth." Say with me, "It shall spring forth." Say, "It shall spring forth." Yeah, pull it up. Pull it out of the ground. Say, "It shall spring forth." Hallelujah. Yeah. Our job is to put it in the ground. Our job is to water it. Hallelujah. Our job is to put the seed in the ground. But God's job is to make it grow. Hallelujah. God's job is to make it grow. And I see that God is going to bless this work. Hallelujah. God is going to make it grow. There will be many souls, many people, so many people who will come to church from this part of town because of what God is doing. Hallelujah. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." The one who pays attention to winds and difficulties and challenges, that says the person will not sow. Do you see? And the one who looks at the clouds, who is afraid of getting wet, who thinks about the consequences, that if I do this, what will happen? And what if this doesn't work? And what if this happens? He says that that person will not sow. Hallelujah. And the one who does not sow will not reap, isn't it? Verse 5 says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child." Do you know how bones grow in a human womb? Do you know how bones can form in somebody's womb? Wow. But bones do form in people's wombs. He says that just as you do not know how it happens, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Hallelujah. You do not know the works of God who maketh all. So because of that, he said, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand." Hallelujah. "That for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall alike be good." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't know whether this will work or that will work or both will work. Wow. Hallelujah. We're going for both will work. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have our morning seed. And now we have our evening seed. Hallelujah. We have our morning church and we have our evening church. We have our morning worship and we have our evening worship. Hallelujah. Soon God is going to give us our morning choir and our evening choir. He's going to give us our morning praise and worship team and our evening praise and worship team. Because you do not know, he says, how do you know whether both alike will work by the grace of God? I see both working. Hallelujah. You don't have to know how. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to answer all the questions. You just have to launch out. You just have to have faith in God. You just have to have faith in God. You just have to believe that it is possible, that God is interested in doing new things. And he says it will spring forth, and you will not know how it happens, but it will spring forth. Hallelujah. And sometimes when you look at people doing new things, they look crazy. They look like they are out of their minds. They look like they are wasting their time. Isn't it? I mean, when you see little things beginning, they don't look impressive. Isn't it? They don't look impressive. You see someone who has had a little baby, and you ask the person, what are you trying to do? So I'm trying to produce the next president. You know, it looks very funny. So is this how to make a president? Hallelujah. But God always does fantastic things. And God's fantastic things have small beginnings. I see that God can do something great. But long before the great thing that God has in mind actually occurs, he would often have started with something very small that people don't respect much. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, I've been watching this video since yesterday. And it's a video of the Prime Minister of the UK at a redeemed church conference. Did you see the crowd? Let me just show a little bit of it to you. See, portable church, we can take breaks for video and so many things that a big church cannot easily do. Do you understand? But we can take a break. We want to watch a video. We just watch a video for some time, and after that, we continue. And we continue just easy life, easy church, just easy, easy, easy. But look at this thing right here. Okay, and you see how that the Prime Minister of the UK is, look at this, can you see?
She's with us all night. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. We are grateful in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. The 750 parishes that are in the United Kingdom.
We are 750 parishes.
Like I've said
in the
all
UK
night, we're
only
grateful for those who
you see
have come alongside us, who have a similar passion for this nation. And one such person who is a very close personal friend, most people would call him my brother. We're grateful for the work he's done in encouraging us through the cinema network that encourages our churches to just go out there and touch our communities in the way they serve our communities. Some of what we do, he's encouraged us to, in a sense, franchise them so that what started in one small parish is now being done by churches all over the United Kingdom. Please make Matt Bird welcome and appreciate him, Festival of Life. Matt, you want to rise so we can appreciate you? Go and appreciate Matt for all he does on Cinema Network. We're also grateful to have with us for the first time at the Festival of Life, the chairman, hang on a second, the chairman of the Conservative Party, Lord Feldman. Go on, make Lord Feldman welcome. The chairman of the Conservative Party.
Over there. Lord.
Now, when you're doing what I'm doing now, some jobs are easier than others. Sometimes you've got to memorize a lot of things to try and introduce someone to a large gathering like this. Sometimes it's just made easy. And this introduction is an easy one for me. It's historic. It's the first time at the Festival of Life. And just so that we can show that we've been trained well by our father, Pastor Adeboye, I'd like you to rise to your feet as we welcome the Prime Minister, Right Honourable David Cameron.
Yeah. Isn't that powerful? Hallelujah. Now, as I was watching this thing, and I watched his speech, one of the things that struck me was how he said, this is a Christian nation. And I was thinking about England, and I was thinking that, how is it that today, when the Prime Minister of England has to declare that this is a Christian nation, there is almost no English church or platform where he can appropriately make such a declaration. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, to appropriately make such a declaration and let that declaration be known around the world. Are you getting what I'm saying? And today, as an immigrant church, and a church that started like a small church, like a group of immigrants who are just doing something, which nobody really respected much, that church is the church that has provided that platform. Do you understand? Because when you see what is going on in the place and you hear what he's saying, you see the two go together.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's different from when you have a small gathering in a place where he shows up. He won't even come there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Today, that immigrant church in the UK has become one of God's trump cards.
Wow.
It's become one of the cards that God is playing against the enemy. In the time when Islam and other religions seek to take over a country that has been historically Christian.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Who has God got to really make a strong case for Christianity? Except the immigrants that came in coolly. Some with papers, some not with papers. So many complex scenarios and so many things. Do you get it? Somehow they escaped so many shipwreck boats, this by the swimming, by the flying. Somehow they have all entered the place, all coming together to fulfill God's purpose and God's time. You see what I'm saying? And one of the things that God impressed on my heart is that when he wants to do something, he begins very, very remotely. Do you understand? Long before Jesus ever started preaching, he had been in town for 30 years. Can you imagine that God had the Messiah hiding in town for 30 years before anybody ever knew that the one who has come to save the world from their sins is actually in town? Are you getting what I'm saying? Jesus came to preach just a little bit, but mainly to die for us. And the work that he came to do, he had been hiding in town for 30 plus years before he actually did the work. Which means that God can have something in town for a long time, in an unassuming way, and you don't even know its purpose. Do you see? You don't know what its purpose is. You don't know why God has put it there at such a time. But sometimes God needs something to be there, and the thing will be there, and it will be there gathering strength, growing, developing, building up until the day of its showing, until the day when his real reason why he put it there comes forth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I believe that we are on God's timetable. And we ourselves may not fully understand what God is up to. And we may not fully understand what role in the big picture our presence and existence plays. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But what we have to do is to press on by faith and to move as we are directed by God, and to keep building churches, and to keep starting churches, and to keep starting churches, because one day God is going to reveal the true purpose of all this. One day it will all come together and we're going to look at it and say, oh wow, God, what a wonder and what an amazing thing you have done. Because as I was looking at this, I am sure it was all over the TV in the UK, because wherever the prime minister goes, that's where the cameras go. Do you understand? Yeah, and what a statement it will make in the land, in a land where so much is happening, where people don't even want to go to church anymore, where people feel that it's not even popular to go to church, where you look like an idiot if you say you're going to church. But suddenly they draw the curtain and realize, wow, church is still popular. Church is still the thing to do. That there are people still going to church today. And that rather you have been left out. Hallelujah. If you don't find or seek out for your God, then you are missing out on something. But God is still working. And God is still using people. Hallelujah. God is still working and God is still using people. It is not unheard of that God used feeble immigrants to save a whole nation. Esther was an immigrant. Hallelujah. She was an immigrant. Someone who was just moving around. Nobody even thought that there was any salvation inside her. But I told you that when God wants to do something, he throws his person into town way ahead of the time. So you wouldn't even know that God has smuggled his person in. And as things are unfolding, you don't know that God already has his people strategically positioned. Are you getting what I'm saying? God already has his people strategically positioned. And God uses such people. Daniel was an immigrant. And he was in this place. And God used him at the appropriate time to cause the whole nation to come and bow down to the one true God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe that God is up to something. Amen. I believe God is up to something. He said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. It shall spring forth. And you will know it. You will see what will happen. Hallelujah. He said, in the morning, sow your seed. In the evening, withhold not your hand. Because you don't know whether the morning seed or the evening seed, or the morning worship or the evening worship, or both alike, are going to be the ones that God will use to fulfill his purpose. Can I have an amen? I believe great things are in store for us. Hallelujah. To God be the glory, great things he has done. Hallelujah. So let's keep believing. Let's keep building. Let's keep working. And let's keep praying. Let's keep coming. Every great work needs some sacrifice. Hallelujah. Every baby that is born needs someone to sacrifice for it. That is why when people give birth to babies, they don't go to work the next day. When someone gives birth to a baby, they don't get up and say, well, I've done my part. So you too, you have arrived. Find your way and grow. I'm going to work tomorrow. They sacrifice work. Yeah, only anaconda babies do that. Serpentile babies. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when a baby is born, people have to take time off. People always have to take time off work to attend to a new baby. So it is not for nothing that when Jesus was born, you read that while shepherds watched their flock by night, they were working on. Then the angel came and said, take the time off because a baby has been born. Every time babies are born, God needs some people to sacrifice. God needs some people to put something on the line. God needs some people to be prepared to lose something. Can you imagine? These shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Why do shepherds watch their flocks by night? Against the wolf. Do you understand? It means there's a real danger. That is why they are watching their flocks by night. So when they leave the flocks by night to go and attend to a baby, you can imagine that there's a real risk. They are making a huge sacrifice. Perhaps it is the reason why they are mentioned in the Bible. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I believe that it will cost us something. It will cost us some driving. It will cost us some hunger. It will cost us some tiredness, some exhaustion, because we are going to work a double shift. Hey, what a shock. Morning worship, evening worship. Morning singing, evening singing. Morning dancing, evening dancing. You know, morning equipment carrying, evening equipment carrying. You know, but I believe that it will be worth it in the end. It will be worth it in the end. The sacrifice is necessary to cause the church to come alive. Every baby lives on someone's sacrifice. Most babies are born without a job. Do you understand? Yeah. Most babies don't have a job when they are born. And somebody has to sacrifice to clothe them. Somebody has to sacrifice to buy them food. Somebody has to sacrifice to buy them a crib. Before you even arrive, someone has spent money. They are not even sure whether you will stay, but they've spent the money anyway. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. But in time, we will all see that it was worth it. Hallelujah. We will all be glad. All over. You know, people drive far distances even to go to just their morning service. Hallelujah. And so if we have to do this and just come here also at the end of the day to do a second service, it's okay. Hallelujah. When we leave here and we're going home, you'll see that it's just a little over an hour and you'll be home. Hallelujah. And you'll be glad. That's better than 3 hours. You should be glad that God didn't ask you to go somewhere. Somebody else has been asked to go somewhere where he has to travel 3 hours to get to the place every Sunday to go to church. That's where he has been sent. But we have also been sent here. Hallelujah. Whatever God has given us to do, that we will do. And I know that his blessing is already on this work. Can you not feel his blessing already? Did you feel the smoothness in the service? I feel God is in this thing already, and I can see that great things are in store for us. Hallelujah. So let us water and plant. God will give the increase. Hallelujah. Jesus went somewhere and they had run out of wine, and the people desperately needed wine. And his mother said, I know you guys don't know how to make wine, but I know someone who can make wine. So she went to her son and said to him, these people need wine. Help them. Jesus said, I know they cannot make wine, but there's something they can do, which is to fill the pots with water. If they will fill the pots with water, I am going to turn that water into wine. Hallelujah. If they sit around just staring at the pots, then we will all be sitting here and be gazing into the air. So God always has a part for you to play. God always has something that you must do, a sacrifice you must make, a step you must take, a person you must invite, a phone call you must make. And he says, when you have done your part, then he will descend into the situation and he will also do his part. That's when water becomes wine. That's when that wine begins to taste better than the wine that was there before. That's when people begin to wonder, how did we get here? That's how people begin to wonder, where did this wine come from? How come this is so nice? How come this is such a blessing? Where did this come from? It is because somebody filled some pots with water and gave the Lord an opportunity to turn that water into wine. I see God turning what we are doing into something that will be a great blessing to many lives. I see God turning what we are doing into something that will change lives in the Rancho area, where people will come from the surrounding towns, from Fontana, from Glendora, right? From Ontario, and from Rialto, and from Chino, and from Pomona, and from where else? Riverside, and San Bernardino, and where? Azusa. All these places, people are going to come from all these places, because God has put another lighthouse in this place that will bless their lives. Hallelujah. It's great news, so spread the word. I said it's great news, so spread the word. It is a great thing to serve the Lord. Our God is great. He said, I will even make rivers in the desert, and I will make a highway in the wilderness. I will do it. This is what God feels like doing. God likes adventure. God likes wild things. If you like, God likes crazy things, unheard of things, things that scare other people. God likes to do such things. And we are glad and blessed to be sons of God with the same spirit. So a great work has begun, and it will be marvelous in our eyes. We will see it with our eyes and see what God is doing. Stand to your feet and let's give him thanks for the great things he has begun in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just pray, everybody, and commit this great work into the hand of the Lord. And tell the Lord, Lord, bless. Let your blessing rest upon this work. Let your grace be all over this work in the name of Jesus. Let people encounter you when they come to this church. Let people meet God. Let people feel God when they come to this church. May lives not be the same, oh God. Let no life be the same when they step into this place. Let this light shine. Let it bring blessing. Let it bring establishment. Let it bring conversions. Let it bring stability to homes, into the lives of people. Let it touch young lives in the name of Jesus. Oh God, shine your light and pour out your blessing upon this work in the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in the name of Jesus. Oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah. We are grateful to you in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I want to know your glory. I want to offer the sacrifice of praise. Fill this temple, Lord, with your spirit. Once again, oh Lord. Father, we are grateful to you once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. We thank God for tonight and thank him for such a blessed opportunity. This will grow. I said this church will grow. Hallelujah. Both alike will be good by the grace of God and by the help of God. Hallelujah. Go around and tell somebody both alike will be good. And explain to them the morning seed and the evening seed. Morning seed and evening seed. Both alike will be good. Hallelujah. Amen. All right.